University of Alaska Broadcasting Service proudly presents Poetry by Oliver Everett, past Poet Laureate of Alaska and Professor of English at the University of Alaska. Here now is Professor Everett.
I am going to read part of the God Has Been Northward series from the book by the same name. But first of all, I want to read a section from what I call Blacks, or Studies in Black, rather, in which there is one item, Gamla Fela, or the Old Violin, if I translate the title. And there is a connection between the thought here and what happens in the God Has Been Northward sequence. I want to say a few words on this. The old violin poem is concerned with my father, who died when I was a child, so I only have memories of hearsay on him. And I realize that he had many problems. He was trying to make a living off of a brush farm with 1 acre in cultivation. He already had 5 children with my birth, and apparently all of the pressures on him caused him to fret until finally he broke down and had to be committed to an asylum and died there shortly afterwards. As a child, I thought many times of my father and of his background. He was old Viking stock. That is, his parents had come as children from Norway. And oftentimes I would think of what I'd heard about him and his violin and wonder what he thought of as he played. It seemed, from what I could learn, that he played much when he was troubled about something. So it's with that in mind that I want to read this first poem and then go on to the other sequence, Gamla Fela. When with your violin you probed into the silence, did you hear the music, the longing, pathos, expectancy, sorrow and triumph of that great host that beat upwards from Asia? Did you see ships beating their ways through ice and waves past Biscay and Tunis, before the Angles crossed the channel, and hear the exultant cry that raised Greenland wrapped in cold flannels? Did Thor's blows touch those strings with echoes? Were there visions of ships, shields, sails, and the long oars dipping? Did Woden whisper long thoughts of the sea and the sky and of the wind that possesses, lifting stoutly to drive your breed westward? Smother of pine and the Chippewa, away from the sea, shall I forget the tree enriched by strange bloods and the spirits that cry westward? They have found our giant remains, where we lived before the Druids had formed their first school or had built their stone hinges, and our ruins where we climbed the white waters against a vixen sky, intemperate with light and darkness. Men of strange lands, men of many names, speaking all tongues, lovers of the free, retiring inward when in bondage, rebels, drunkards, priests, parsons, sailors, fishers, lovers of the sea, sky, earth, and the lone gull flying over gray waters, and the lone wolf crying in the wet bottoms. I turn now to God Has Been Northward, which brings us into Alaska. God has always been northward in dark spaces. Always the void held firm and steady, dark froth of ice rivers, totems in hoarfrost. God has been in my heart always. Arctic seas move slowly on unhurried errands. Ice floes split with no warnings. Grizzlies rear up and crumble. Sections like prairies tear out, stand up briefly, stagger backward. God has been in my heart always. Arctic seas move slowly on unhurried errands. White hump sprawled out, icy and eternal mother, cold breasts press up into pressure ridges, dark thighs stretched landward carrying the bellowing walrus, toes that scratch out beaches and hands that polish gravel. Kugrick, the loudspeaker, scolds the hair seals. Gray geese wheel and veer over new fjords and stiff waters. The skies come down and rub against me. The skies on which I lean and which I walk into. They drink me up and shrink me into a feather or a pebble. The king is extinguished. Sparks from his sled runner sprinkle the dark heavens. Black void and crisp whiteness. The three seal hunters prowl the dark circle. The bubbles come up slowly at the black seal holes. Meteors sweep by like prophets, brilliant for one instant. Here it is always Advent. The nimble white fingers write their white letters. How shall I read them in their white downgoings? The eyes turn upward and inward, while the heart continues its old song of Abba, Abba. What are the stars saying? Listen, and I will tell you, for I caught their meaning, and I know that the angels are singing in their first beginnings. And the soul reaches to listen to the converse of heaven, but it cannot, not having learned the language fully. But the heart goes up, like all things visible, to swing about the still center. The scented ships of the void discharge their cargoes. There are indigos and whites, greens, reds, blacks in velvets. The dipper turns slowly in the great kettle. The pole star watches kindly. All else turns in the darkened cradle. Old heats heal here. A green star watches, turns, continues the circle. One over star is near me. He is no stranger to the stillness. Dawn comes slowly out of the kettle of white world fire. A brilliant green star falls flaming poleward. Symbol of all things, turning over and over. I find scriptures in light and darkness. Dawn comes slowly out of the kettle of white world fire. The frost bows cross the ice floes and hang there thickly. Their colors clothe me. The cold is known and friendly. Listen to the drums, the drums. Listen to the whistles and the flutes. All snows have bright new veins, to which I pour my own red bubblings. Here I remain at the edges, always continue the circle. My fathers set the direction, and I push my ship into the warm unknown. Now I'm going back to Studies in Black, the closing number there, Indian Summer. In the moon of the acid berries, the smoke of the peace pipes trail off into the silences. Old copper motionless about the dying embers, the dark wrapping its blankets closer as the souls of the departed warriors draw a little nearer. Sky paths glittering with the traffic of heroes. On the prayer rock, two gashes where the knees were planted, and the bare bowl, hollowed by the head, beating its orisons. The plaintive wail of the native dirge, in the damp moss beside the trail, the moccasin flowers, the mother's footprints seeking her vanished children. Gaunt Viking, full crimson against a strident sky, muttering your skaldic quat, does the wind listen? The shadows gather in council, outside the ring of the firelight. In the circle, pipes are sucked, eyes upon the coals. The crackling of an ember, the muffled grunts and sighs of a race toward absence. Night drinks the image of the worshiper.
You've been listening to Oliver Everett, Professor of English at the University of Alaska. This program was produced in the studios of KUAC for the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service. The University of Alaska Broadcasting Service proudly presents Poetry by Oliver Everett, past Poet Laureate of Alaska and Professor of English at the University of Alaska. Here now is Professor Everett.
I am reading Autumn Sabbath from the book God Has Been Northward Always, which was published in 1965, Autumn Sabbath. The rain of autumn falls over my Sabbath morning, but my thoughts are long and barren. The winter wind breathes coldly, and the light is shrinking. The colored leaves are falling. On a withered stick, a raven sits and watches, black and solemn. Last night the moon was mammoth, creeping along the lost edges. The retreating king in hiding could not conceal his colors. Oh, the painted sky and the white silted rivers. Beavers along the river's edges played their games, and the salmon came up flopping on the fish wheels. The dogs of the Indian village sang a world-old chorus. In the clean tents, the smiling women worked their needles, rubbed the ragged skins, and kneaded the birch bark into the softness of a gospel. The poppies are all crying, shedding their big tears into red and white puddles. The zinnias lean down, weighted with a yellow sorrow. The petunias grow heavy, morbid, in their sharp whites and purples. Frost and the lights come early. They flame out, and the crisp grass crunches greenly. The asters are a cold white sculpturing, and the stiff sunflower, still in its first gold petals, droops its hoary head in mourning. Long ago, my dusky mentors showed to me the bridge of warriors, blazing with the spirit pilgrims, winding up the trails of heaven. Myths, you will say, and figures. But the lights of Arctic winter, to which I long and which my soul walks after, build for me their wavering bridges into the bright laughter of forever. The leaves on the high ridges have finished their frantic turning, curling up in their crisp edges in fantastic reds and yellows. Trees still dance a chilling vesper, and the late flowers have blossomed in a hurry, knowing that the summer is over. The geese pass over nightly in their jubilant wedges. The ducks upon the pond grow restless. The ripe berries have fallen. The blue and green air tinkles in a clear, sharp crispness. The bull grinds out his antlers on the inoffensive alders. The dark slinks back by minutes. But we who love the dark winters are not in mourning. As we listen to the night singings, for we share these longings, tugging toward the season of the unchained spirits. Fog and the mist and the spirit creep down the great valley where the China and the Tanana are bringing their silty songs in brown and white sonnets. Already I feel the hardening ripples as I hold out my soul to the longing of the long winter. Winter will come early, and the lumpy ice will gather along the river's edges. Plains will pass over and will leave their sounds running along the frozen river. Crusts will move, turn, slide into the dwindling channels. Willows will stoop down to don their long white parkas. Out of these shrinking waters, the winter's soul is rising. Spirit has hung out her washings. Blue hardens and thickens. Green gathers white frostings. Fleece on the ring of a world covers all in a soft and white forgiveness. I see the face of God in a white profile, gazing outwards. Is all that matters. I'm turning now to several sections from a collection called Tanana from the same volume. However, the season here is spring, not autumn. Tanana. Where has the purple spring gone? All day the gray attic lowers, and the cold white dust sifts down. The suspicion of green is muffled, and the remnants of the icy crust crumble and turn in the channel. The laughter has faded with the pink heavens into a new white silence. At his dirty gray edges, the river god sags and groans. Men leave their offerings in garbage and bottles. The tripod moves, topples over. The ice pool clock registers the winners of the wagers. And the ice moves, creaking and groaning. Uprooted trees, roots, and debris come down the river. Little veins bleed with dirty water. The river is at riot, boiling and churning. Ground thaws, buds put forth, old ice remains under the piled up rubbish, like the human heart, where no love has warmed it. The grass comes up in patches, and the slowness of certain leaves tells where the ice is hiding. Slushy gray streets and walks which the sun is shoveling, black, wavering waters creeping in the icy gutters, men working with steam trucks and with hot hoses that push open the underground ovals, cigar stubs and paper wrappings and other rubbish, floating slowly, waiting for the sewer drains to open. And over the melting grayness, the hungry and infernal ravens. The Tina in their tents watch the fish wheels. The crimson salmon comes up flopping. Smoke is being filtered in the many fish racks. A knife is balanced point downward on a small boy's nose. "Why don't you stop him?" asks the stranger. "There's more where he came from," says the father. Women flensing moose hide with flat scrapers, skin soaking in urine, staked out hungry dogs leaping meanly. You know what those crazy dogs did? They ate up my little sister. Serenity cleaning the fish. Contentment watching the fish wheels. I wonder who's crazy, muses the harried tourist, who is thinking of his 10-figure business. Where do you live? Asks the tourist of the Indian who is fishing the river. Joe smiles. Most any place around here. But where do you live in the winter? The visitor persists. Joe smiles. God looks after me. Buildings rising fiercely with decision. Bulldozers push back the brush and moss to leave them in ridges, tearing long holes into the green silence. Black juice seeps from sagging soils with the loss of brush and tundra. Radishes splitting with sunshine, cabbage like shortened barrels, tomatoes and melons growing in long glass houses, rhubarb and spinach shooting up their quick, gay foliage. The gush and roar of the afterburners and trails of white and black vapors across the blue arids, long white nights, and the grinding of heavy rubber over long, smooth pavements. Patience of men, enduring hardness, pushing their own stubbornness through the white and blue deserts, through the long green silence, actively measuring the coldest weather and the hot dryness, putting new names on old landscapes, rainbow chasers in shoepack and mucklucks, long-suffering losers of pay streaks and poker, pushing their stubbornness to harvest.
You've been listening to Oliver Everett, Professor of English at the University of Alaska. This program was produced in the studios of KUAC for the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service.